Man, thank you. I appreciate that good singing.
What a blessing. It's a wonderful thing if you just never forget what He rescued you from. Amen. Amen. That'll keep you from being a Pharisee. Amen. I appreciate that. That was good. It's good to see my friend Brother Barna. That's a blessing to see him. I was really hoping he brought the money he owes me, but I don't think he did. It's good to see you, brother, and Mrs. Barna, so good to see you. His daughter and son-in-law live close by us, about 40 minutes from where I live. His son-in-law started a church there, pastored a church. Some really neat things have happened for him recently and exciting, and you know, what a good guy, and so that's a blessing. So it's good to see you folks, and I want to tell you, folks here from Old Paths Baptist Church, I love your preacher and his family. I was sitting there thinking about this past year that was so weird for all of us, and we didn't have our typical football camp this past year. We had a preaching time though, and over in Indiana, and really one of the finest messages in that preaching time was a message delivered by your pastor. God used him, and it was powerful. And, you know, if you just travel around a little bit, you thank God for the pastor you have. They're hard to find. I'm telling you, they're faithful, love the Lord, and love people. And so it's just always a blessing for me to come. I appreciate your preacher being a friend to me. And I'm just so thankful to be part of this. Well, I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Preacher is talking about getting discouraged sometimes. I was thinking, man, this past year, I'm a Michigan Wolverine fan. Talk about discouraged. Man, I attempted suicide 3 times and quit the ministry 4 times this past football season. But Philippians chapter 3, if you'd stand with me, please. Amazing, as we read this passage of Scripture, you can just feel the depth of Paul's heart for his God. And when you think about where he came from to where he is in this passage, in Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 10, it says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amazing when you know your Bible a little bit and realize where he came from. Saul of Tarsus, hater of Christians, despiser of Jesus Christ. And he came from that. We know that he encouraged the stoning of Stephen. But history of those days actually records a whole lot more of that kind of thing that Paul did. Or Saul is his name at that time. But to think he came from that to now this heart that's so passionate just to know his God, to serve him, realizing I've not apprehended. That'd be good for a lot of Baptists. Realize you haven't apprehended. You might want to give other people a little bit of time to apprehend. But that passion, sometimes I just wonder, what happened to that passion, people? Right. Just a passion to serve him, just a passion to honor him, right. Just a passion to please him. Well, I want to preach tonight on how to get where you're going. How did Paul get from that to where we find him in Philippians chapter 3? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. We need you. We confess, Lord, that this will be a waste of time for everybody if, Holy Spirit of God, you don't move in power, have your way, be in charge, please. Help my mind to think clearly. I beg of you, please, fill me and endue me and use me, Lord. I sure want to be a help to the folks that are here tonight. And so, Lord, please help me to say what you want tonight. And Lord, I pray as our hearts would be tender, ready to receive all that you have for us tonight, as my dear friend comes and preaches after me, Lord, help our hearts to be hungry tonight for your truth. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love the testimony of how God's worked in the hearts of people. It always thrills me. I think of a young man that grew up in Wisconsin, was saved as he was younger, but just got away from the Lord and became pretty wild. If you saw a picture of him, you'd think he'd be used in a horror film from what he looked like in those days. But now he's Pastor Dan Woodward. How did he get from where he was to God using him now? How does that happen? A tremendous preacher, one of my favorite preachers. I mean, when he was a teenager, he was sent to a home for boys because he was so troubled and his parents didn't know what to do with him. Today, he's one of the most powerful preachers of my generation, named Terry Angel. How does that happen? How does somebody get from that to where God could use them in such a wonderful way? Where there's such a passion to be used of God? How does that happen? Years ago, there was a little girl grew up here in Iowa, a little bit south of here in Iowa. And as she was growing up, her mother died while she was quite young. Her dad remarried and married a woman that was just extremely abusive. And the dad didn't know. He was working 16 hours a day, but he didn't know that that new wife hated her stepdaughter and treated her so poorly. In fact, tried literally to starve her. That little girl at 8 years old began to climb out the window in the middle of the night from her bedroom to go out to where the bread had been thrown out on the grass for the birds, and she'd gather up the bread to eat. And she was about 12 years old. She crawled out that window for the last time, and she ran away from home, never to go back. It wasn't a little bit down the road that she, after she had run away, that she found a church, and she decided to go in, and she heard the singing, and when she went in, she heard the gospel preached, and she got saved. God did a wonderful work in her heart. She ended up marrying a godly farmer that loved the Lord, and they had a wonderful family of 9 children, and she was known in that area for her Bible studies for ladies. And then, her youngest son ended up producing a child named Tim Booth. That was my grandmother on my dad's side. But I've often thought about how did she get from that to where God used her in such a wonderful way? How does that happen? How did Paul come to this point in his Christian life? Well, look at a few simple thoughts with me tonight. First of all, if you go to Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2. And listen to what Paul says to those here in Ephesus. In verse 1 he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Jump over to verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You see, for Paul to get from where he was to where God could use him in such a great way, he had to realize that who he is now is not what he was then. You know, a lot of Christians get stuck in their past. And never can move on beyond that. But Paul realized that when he got saved, he's no longer what he was. He's a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The old devil loves to keep you stuck in the past. The worldly philosophy is, you know, if once you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic for the rest of your life. Once you're a drug addict, you're a drug addict the rest of your life. I want to tell you something, not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, you get saved, you're no longer what you were. Now you're a child of God. You may still have struggles and temptations along those ways, but that's not who you are anymore. Look over there with me in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, notice chapter 1. You know a little bit about your Bible. You know the church at Corinth was the most carnal church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it says in verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Wow. I mean, why in the Lord, why did it tell him, boy, you're a bunch of reprobate, carnal Christian? He said, you're called saints. That's who you are. Now, you're not always living like you should, but that's who you are. Notice what it says over there in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Look at all these labels. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I mean, how would you like to sit in a congregation with all those? Can I tell you something? You are. We're all just wicked sinners that God, by His amazing grace and mercy, has saved us. And He's saying, though, that's what you were. That's not who you are anymore. Now you're a child of God. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power, authority, to become the sons of God. Now that's who we are. Paul knew that once he was the chief of sinners, but now he's different. He's a child of God. How did Paul get from where he was to where God could use him in such a way? He had to recognize who he was is not who he is anymore. Secondly, he had to realize what God did when God saved him. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, look at verse 1. There is therefore, I'm sorry if I'm hurrying, but I just got a short time. I got to get Brother Woodward up here. So, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jump over there to verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Man, that's a precious Bible term. Justified. When you got saved, you're justified. I've heard it explained as it means just as if I'd never sinned. And that's good, but that doesn't explain all of it. It's also just as if you'd always done right. I mean, when the Lord looks at me, He sees me covered in the blood of His precious Son as if I'd only done right. Amen. That's an amazing thought. How do you get beyond your past? You know, the old devil's an accuser of the brethren. Right. He loves to keep you beat down. That's why you don't want to join his team and accuse the brethren all your life. Right. Yeah. And the old devil loves to just keep you beat down. Boy, who do you think you are teaching a Sunday school class? I mean, look what you've been. Look what you've done. I mean, who do you think you are getting up there to sing a special? He loves to just beat you down. I've had many people through the years of my ministry say to me, you know, preacher, I know God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself. Well, forget about forgiving yourself. You don't find that in the Bible. The Bible never tells me to forgive myself. I rejoice and thrill in the fact that the God who made me loved me enough that He gave me the opportunity to be saved. He has forgiven me. I don't have to forgive myself. You rejoice and move on because of His forgiveness. Paul couldn't have moved on. I mean, he had participated in murder. How could he go on if he didn't realize what God did when God saved him? And it tells us in Psalm 103 that He put our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. You travel east, you don't never get to west. I'm glad He didn't say from the north to the south, because there's a north pole and a south pole. But there's no east pole and a west pole. He's saying, I put them behind my back to remember them no more. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Amazing to think that God remembers them no more. Amen. Here's a good statement. Hopefully it'll be a help to you. When you've confessed to God and gotten things right, and then you all of a sudden are feeling guilt about that again, can I tell you that's not the Holy Spirit convicting you? Because God's forgotten about it.
Amen.
That's the devil condemning you. That's him wanting to keep you from moving forward and being effective and getting to that place we want to get to where God can use us. How did Paul get where he was going? He had to realize that who he is now is not who he used to be. He had to realize what God did when He saved him. He justified him. And then notice in chapter 3 of Philippians where we read. Look at verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth. It has the mental picture of stretching yourself out. What was Paul reaching for? What was the rest of his life doing reaching? I'm telling you what he was doing. He realized where he's going now. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. I've got a home. I'm going to spend eternity with my Savior. He's reaching forth. He's ever mindful of where he's going. And that changed your life if you just always be mindful of where you're going. You see, if you know where you're going on a trip, you dress for the occasion. Amen, Brother Booth. Always mindful of where he was going. I'm going to hear a song tonight. He's really all that's going to matter when all this is over. If we're mindful of where we're going. I got a word. My mother and dad were living in California where I grew up, and my brother, I'm always being indebted to him, lived about just a mile from a assisted living home that my parents asked us to put him in. And as they got older and needed some extra care all the time and be able to get a hold of some care. And my mom, her kidneys were failing. She had an aneurysm on her aorta, and we knew that she was getting worse and worse. And my brother called me and said, Tim, if at all you can get out here, you need to get out here. It looks like it's just a matter of days. I won't go into all the story how that God miraculously provided as He so often does. And allowed me to be able to fly out there, and a guy that had some extra miles on his advantage miles in his travels allowed me to use a ticket and go. And I was there, and my dad, who was just exhausted. Dad was still in a wheelchair at this point, and I said, Dad, let me do my part. I'll sit up with Mom tonight. You need to go to bed and get some rest. And she's in a a hospital bed in their little apartment there. And so I'm sitting next to her. And we knew that time was very, very short. And I just began to talk with her. I said, Mom, I said, have you kind of felt like you're about ready to go see the Lord pretty soon? And she said, yeah. She said, son, about a month ago, I just really felt like God said, you're going to be coming home real soon. And I said, well, what have you been thinking about? Oh, she said, just been thinking about how good God's been to me. Said she, you know, God allowed me to have the most wonderful husband that any woman could ever be married to. My mom always bragged on my dad. And, you know, gave us four wonderful children. And I said, well, Dave wasn't so wonderful, but the rest of us were pretty good. With her little strength, she smacked me. And I was sitting there, and as the night wore on, I, in that little chair next to her bed, I fell asleep. About 2 o'clock in the morning, my mom said, Tim. I woke up and said, what, Mom? She said, I just saw Jesus. Amen. Now I want to tell you something. I don't know what she saw, but I know she was looking for him. And if we'd understand that we're to love his appearing, amen, we live our life daily looking for him. It would change our priorities. It would change what becomes really important to us. It would change what our motivation is. It would affect our passion. How, Paul, did you get from being such a scoundrel to greatly used of God? Well, I had to realize that who I am now is not who I used to be. I had to realize what God did when He saved me. He cleaned the slate clean. He gave me a new start. I ever kept mindful of where I was going. And then I want you to notice, number four, I checked the baggage at the curb. He said, forgetting those things which are behind.
Yeah, come on.
I checked the baggage at the curb. Can I tell you something? You can't run a race effectively carrying a whole bunch of baggage.
Right.
You can't go to war carrying a whole bunch of baggage. You know what's going on in Independent Baptist circles? We've got a whole bunch of folks sitting in pews that are carrying baggage from their past. Well, you don't understand. I have a hard time trusting because this happened to me in my past. And this, you know, I one time I had a pastor and he took advantage of people. And, you know, one time, I mean, I came from this kind of background and I, you know, hey, hang all those excuses. You're God's child now.
Yeah.
Forgetting those things which are mine. Leave them at Calvary. Listen to me. It's affecting our churches. It's affecting our homes. It's affecting our marriages.
Right.
I can't trust my husband because my dad wasn't a good provider. You got to check the baggage at the curb.
Right.
You can't move forward carrying all that baggage.
Come on.
We're ever going to see revival. We've got to leave at Calvary what God told us to leave there and move on for Him.
Right.
There was another little lady. She grew up on the Kansas border and her mother was known as a woman of ill repute. She, this little girl, when she was 9 years old, she quit going to school because she had to take care of her siblings. Because her mother was out running around with men all the time. Her dad was a foreman at a tobacco farm. And she would get up and make breakfast at 9 years old for all the workers. Provide their lunch. And she quit school so she could take care of what her mom should have been taking care of. And thank God when she was a young girl, somebody gave her the opportunity to trust Jesus as her Savior. She became a wonderful, sweet, godly Christian. In fact, in our little town, everybody called her Granny. She was a great prayer warrior. I remember oftentimes her telling me she'd reach her hand up around my neck and pull me down. As a teenager, she'd say, now son, you're a Christian. Don't be going to those dances. You're a Christian. You've got a testimony to uphold. Son, your granny was up praying for you this morning at 4:30 in the morning. That was my grandmother on my mother's side. My grandfather on my mother's side, he ran away from home when he was 7. He rode the boxcars on the railroad. The bums took care of him, made sure he had something to eat. Only God knows what all else took place. He never talked to me about it, just my mother told me. But that was my grandfather on my mother's side. I just tell you that to say this. 3 out of the 4 grandparents I had came from horrible backgrounds. And I've oftentimes thought, where would I be had they not checked the baggage at the curb? Where would I be if they would have carried all that bitterness? Every psychiatrist would tell me, you have a right to be bitter. You've been a victim. But listen, my grandparents got saved, loved the Lord. My grandpa was always quoting verses on both sides of my family. I had a great heritage from grandparents that loved the Lord on both sides of my family. But listen, it wasn't that way for them, but they started a heritage. You say, well, you know, I came from this. So, trust Jesus now, move forward, leave the baggage at the curb, develop your own heritage.
Right. Yeah.
Then lastly, let me say this and I'll be done. Paul, how'd you get from there to this place where you had such a heart for God and God was so powerful in your life using you? Well, I had to realize what I am now is not who I used to be. I had to realize what God did for me when He saved me and cleaned that slate. I ever kept mindful of where I was going. I checked that old baggage at the curb. And then He said, and I pressed toward the mark. You know, if you press, that means there's resistance. He said, but I'm not going to quit fighting. I'm pressing toward the mark. Over there, if you go real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, and Paul records for us, says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't give up. Look at verse 8. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul said, I just determined. I get knocked down, I'm getting back up. I love boxing. All those kind of things. You know, the old time boxers, they didn't have a set number of rounds that they would box. It wasn't like a 10-round fight or a 12 or a 15-round fight. No, they came out round after round after round until one of them couldn't answer the bell. And I want to tell you something. I read the last chapter. I know who's the victor. So don't stay down. You get tripped up, you get knocked down, get back up. We heard it testified tonight, His mercies are new every morning. Get back up. Paul said, listen, there were times I got knocked down, but I just got back up. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual war. Right. Paul, how did you get from that to what you became for the glory of God? Well, you know, I just had to realize that who I am now is not who I used to be. I realized what God did for me when He saved me and cleaned that slate. I ever kept mindful of where I was going. I checked that old baggage at the curb, and I just made up my mind. I don't care how many times I get knocked down, I'm getting back up. I'm going to press toward the mark.
Amen.
Your children have the privilege to have a mom and dad that check the baggage at the curb. Just decide, doesn't matter what's in the past, I've got a Savior that's worth living for.
Yeah. Amen.
Your church have the privilege to have that. What we could be if we just trust Him and what God wants to make us. preacher.
She begins to play an invitation song of her choice. Tonight, the invitation is open tonight. Again, the altar is open. Tonight, what are you hanging on to that's hindering your walk with God? We live in a world today that celebrates victims. And the new hero is the victim. But they don't do anything for Christ. And the devil has deceived a bunch of folks into being victims. Tonight, my Bible says that he's made us more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. That his grace is sufficient for us. Tonight you need to come as you come. Are you stuck? Are you stuck somewhere tonight? Are you stuck? God wants to free you from that. We sing about it. We testify about it, but we don't always live it that way. Tonight would you come? Lay it at the cross. Lay it at the altar. Leave it there. Determine your life tonight to go forward for Christ.